Hi everyone, this is Kim McLaughlin, and we are here for week 8, our last week of our 8-week Emotional Eating Solutions virtual group. And I know I've heard from some of you that you have really been challenged by this, and you have been, and I mean challenged in a good way, like that you've learned a lot and are questioning your food and looking at emotions differently, looking at your thoughts, looking at food differently, looking at dieting differently. And I'm so glad that I've heard from you about what's going on. And those of you that I haven't heard from, I suspect you might be feeling the same way, that you have learned a lot, that you've gotten a lot out of it, maybe also that you feel a little scared that this is ending. And we're going to talk about in the end about some options about what you might need to continue forward. But today really is focused on a wellness, which is, I think, one of the most critical steps to continuing forward on this emotional eating solution journey, because you need a plan of action. You need to know what you're going to do moving forward. And this wellness plan is it. It's such a large piece of what I do and what I teach to people and what really helps them remain consistent and on track. And if they feel like they're getting off track, they just refer back to their wellness plan and then they can get back on track again. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. And I'm excited to get started. So let's get started. We have talked about a lot over the over these 8 weeks. And I encourage you to get either the email that I sent you today, which has the link in my Dropbox for the wellness plan, or go to our private website and you can pull it up. And so you can follow along as I go through what all of the pieces mean, because it's really, this wellness plan is really drawing together everything that we've talked about. And adding on a little bit more to it. But I think you'll see as we go along that it'll be a great help for you in the future. So for those of you on the call, just know that I have you in Q&A mode. And if you need to ask a question, feel free, *6, and I'll answer your questions. So let's move into what's going on our wellness plan. So if you want to open up your wellness plan in a document, I recommend you print it, but you can have it on your computer to look at it, or, like I said, print it out. So in the end, I encourage you to print it out so that you have it with you. I have one in a binder that I can look back on, and I find it very helpful to remember what my plan of action is. So on page 1, if you just want to look, I'm going to read some of the pieces just for those of you who don't have it in front of you, that you can know what I'm talking about and you can refer back to it when you have a hard copy, because some of you might be just listening on the phone and not at able to get to a computer right now. So on page 1 is the start. This is your wellness plan, and it's an important step in the process of ending emotional eating. This plan is yours, and it's a living document which can be changed as you learn more about yourself and your eating patterns. I like that part about it being a living document, because it is something that will grow with you and maybe change as time goes on. And what my experience is that you will find as you move along is that you'll learn more about yourself and have a deeper understanding of your relationship to food and your emotions that lead into you overeating, or what dieting might mean to you, or what foods work for you and what doesn't work for you. And you'll be able to hone this in more as time goes on. So that's why it's a living document. So the first part on page 1, we talk about a daily maintenance routine. And so there are certain things that you do and say to yourself when you're feeling good. And you do these things because they make you feel good and support a healthy lifestyle. Recognizing that you need to do what you need to do on a daily basis to keep yourself emotionally, mentally, and physically healthy is critical for keeping food in its proper place as nourishment. So what I want you to do is describe how you feel, look, and sound when you are in balance. And imbalance means when you're happy, joyful, and your life feels good. And you feel good about what's going on. And what I want you to do on this first page is start writing down. And if you don't have the piece of paper in front of you, just write it, jot it down on a piece of paper. What are the feelings that you have when all is well in your life? What do you feel like when things are going good? And you can take a deep breath and start imagining that. What does your life feel like when things are going good? And some words that I thought of when I feel my life is going good are feel successful, feel satisfied, optimistic, happy, passionate, curious, playful, joyful, enthusiastic, and free. Just feeling free to do what I need to do. So there are some columns in this paper to start adding in and putting down your list of those great feelings. And so now what we want to do is start journaling on that. So an easy way to start is to journal about this and write at the start of every sentence what I'm about. So take one of your feelings. One of them was balanced. And start writing about when I feel balanced. What's your life like and where are you at your best? And so when I'm balanced, I eat when I'm hungry. When I'm balanced, I meditate during the day. When I'm balanced, I get inside, or outside, I should say, in the sunlight. When I'm balanced, I have some kind of movement and I go to the gym. When I'm balanced, I check in on myself, how I'm feeling. When I'm balanced, I eat 3 meals and snacks. And when I'm balanced, I stop eating when I fall. That's actually my list, when I feel balanced. So now I encourage you to take a few moments to think about when you feel imbalanced. So what would be those things that you would write about when you feel balanced? What does it feel like to you? Just jot down a few clues for yourself. And what happens is as you write these down, this ends up being a daily maintenance list of what you would be like it when you're imbalanced. So when we're imbalanced, we know all of those great feelings are going to come about because we're imbalanced. Right? So this list would include what you would do each day and what you would, might include what you might want to eat or how you want to eat. I don't mean like in particular eat this kind of food or that. For me, it would be things like, it would include what you need to do each day, what you might want to eat, what physical activity you might have, how much water you might drink, when you might get up, meditation, having fun. And these will be the things that help you stay on track. So some of my list of what I do for me to be in balance is I eat at least one salad a day. That's just what I do. It makes me feel good. I tend to have a green smoothie for breakfast. It's just what I do. I go to the gym 3 days a week. I plan fun activities. I like to focus on being positive and having a positive thought, so I like to say positive things to myself during the day. And so those would be my things on my daily maintenance list. Do you see? So as you're thinking about from that, those list of what makes you feel balanced, it can move you into what are the things then I need to do every day to make me feel balanced. And so what happens is when you are feeling out of balance, I would encourage you to come back to this list and see what works for you. or see, I should say, see which isn't on track, which piece is not on track. So then that would lead you into feeling all of those great feelings at the beginning that we're going towards, those feelings that we want to work towards. This is an important part of your plan, because what we want to do is, I like the concept of, what do I look like when I am well? What do I look like when I'm doing good? Because when I'm feeling good, I want to get back to that. And capturing that when I am feeling good already helps, because when I'm not feeling so good, when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling depressed, when I'm feeling angry, when I'm feeling frustrated or overwhelmed, I don't remember what life was like when I felt good. So this helps remind me. And so I'll say to people when they say, I don't, you know, I'll say, what's your wellness plan? What do you do to take care of yourself? And they said, I don't remember. And then what I'll ask them is, what do you used to do? What used to be a really positive thing? Do that. That's what this is about. Okay. So we're moving on to page 4, now that we know what we look like when we're well, when we're doing good, when we're happy and joyful and balanced. Now we want to look at is, what are the triggers that can lead you back to overeating? And what gets in the way of you being successful? What sets you off and creates negative reactions? So there's a part right here is, journal what upsets you about work, family, money, the feelings that are set to you, relationship struggles, family struggles, what upsets you? What do you have difficulty with in terms of food? So then you move down to the bottom of page 4 is, what triggers me to overeat? And so one of the ways I like to start it is I feel triggered when. I feel triggered when. And those would be those situations, the people, the situations. Some might be, I feel triggered when it's the afternoon and I want a sweet treat. I feel triggered. I feel triggered when it's a big family function and I'm afraid of all the food on the buffet. I feel triggered when I get home from work and I'm bored and lonely. So look at that and journal down what triggers you. I feel triggered when. And then now that you've recognized what triggers you feel when you feel upset and possibly overeat, imagine what we want to do then is imagine what we can do differently. So one of the examples I have is a trigger could be loneliness at nighttime. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that have that as a trigger, loneliness and boredom, nighttime loneliness and boredom, and overeating is a huge huge problem, huge. So if your trigger is loneliness at nighttime, then what, now we want to look at, what can I do? What can I do instead? So when I feel triggered, like, so possibly loneliness at nighttime, one possible plan is to take a walk, call a supportive friend, read a book, do the dishes, write in my journal. But first we have to notice that it's a trigger, right, before we can do anything, because what we end up doing is just overeating and going, people, once again, I had somebody tell me this yesterday, I just overeat at nighttime, I don't know why. Well, we have to look at what the trigger is. There's a trigger, there's something you're saying to yourself, something that's happening, and we want to get you going in a different direction so that we can focus on the food in a different way, food as being nourishment. So now I want you to get to start thinking about when I feel triggered. So use the list that started on page 4, what triggers me to overeat, and then what is the plan I can use? I have one of my triggers is can be family events. It can be times where there's lots of food, or I feel like I'm rush, 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 and then we go to a family event and there's lots of food there. I haven't necessarily eaten before I got there, and I feel triggered to just overeat, take a lot of food, or have a lot of hors d'oeuvres or that kind of thing. So that's one of my triggers. And what is a plan that I can use and do use is I don't go to those events hungry. My husband really struggles with me with that because I'll say, I have to eat before we go, and he goes, he'll say, oh, we're going to eat when we get there. Well, I'm going to overeat if I go there too hungry. So I like to eat before we go. So I'm not talking about a huge meal. I'm just talking about something to keep me, remember, on our hungry full scale. I like to get to feel satisfied at a 5, where I feel a 5, where I'm not hungry, I'm not full, I just feel satisfied. And that's my focus, and that helps me out a lot. When I feel triggered at nighttime, the bored feeling, what do I do? Sometimes I take a bath. Sometimes I write in my journal. Sometimes I take a walk. I do something to distract myself, like clean or something like that. So those are plans. So use your when I feel triggered, what's a plan I can use? And why this is so good, you guys, is that this gets you to do it in advance. It gets you to think about it before you're in the trigger. And that's what a wellness plan is about, is a well-thought-through way of managing situations that we now know are difficult. We've been talking about these things for the last 7 weeks. I know that there are things that you've thought of that are triggers for you. So now let's put down a plan of what we can do about it. Right? Remember, if there are any questions, raise your hand, star 6. So the third part of our wellness plan, it's on page 6. Is early warning signs. How will I know when I'm headed for overeating? I call them red flag moments, where we go, uh-oh, what's going on? Let's look at this. If you see me, I put up my arm and go, red flag, call it a red flag. And so when you're headed for overeating, this is when you learn to recognize the early warning signals, then you can head it off so you don't emotionally eat. So what we want to do is journal about what happens before you overeat. And we want to do that now. We're thinking about it in advance, right? We get a plan, our wellness plan, in advance. That's the beauty of this, is that you have a plan in advance. And what this is you'll find that this is a well-rounded plan, because we're going to put in all the pieces of our puzzle of what we've been talking about all these weeks. So journal about what often happens before you overeat. What's going on around you? What time of day? Who's around you or not around? What feelings are you having? And the early warning signs can be things like buying food you plan to binge on, buying food you know you're going to binge on. That's a red flag moment. Eating in your car, eating in bed, eating standing up, red flag moment. This is an early warning sign. It could be a later sign for you too. But these are early warning signs that there is a problem. Making food you know you will binge on or have a history of binging on. I used to make some food. Oh, I haven't talked about this before. I used to make some foods, and I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I lived alone for a while, and I used to make these foods that were portions for many people. And I would make it for me, and I would eat it all. I wouldn't necessarily eat it that night, but I would eat it the next morning for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. I would eat it, and I actually haven't even thought about making it in ages, but if that thought ever came up to make that food, I would know that was a red flag. I would know that that was that there was something brewing inside of me and I needed to look at it. Another early warning sign for you could be something like sneaking food, isolated eating, mindless eating. We've talked about all of these before. You can also look at your food mood log, and that'll give you clues about feelings and food, about what goes on prior. So I want you to journal here on page 7 about what happens before you emotionally eat. You've been focusing on this for the last 7 weeks, so I know there's something that you already know of, because you might be saying to yourself, I don't know what I do. Well, just take a deep breath and think about something that you do. What happens before you emotionally eat? Stress at work, feeling rejected, feeling sad, feeling lonely, feeling bored, buffet tables. What happens before you overeat? So this then leads you into, on the bottom of page 7, is these will be your early warning signs. So like I said, one of my early warning signs is making these certain sweet treats that I used to make for myself. I also used to, for quite a few Christmases, I would allow myself to bake a lot, under the guise that I would give it away. Well, I ended up eating a lot more, not a lot more, but I tended to eat more than was my fair share before we gave it away. And it really, you know, truth be told, it was my way of binging over holiday time and under the guise of, oh, I'm going to give it away. So that's one of my, excuse me. One of my early warning signs now is just making things for holidays to give away. And it doesn't mean I won't do that, but I look at, am I eating from the bowl? Am I having to have a couple of pieces before everybody else gets them? Am I wanting to save it for myself? What am I being sneaky? And those would be some of my early warning signs. Once again, as I've said to you guys before, definitely on my early warning sign list is wanting to eat something sweet in the afternoon. And it still comes up for me. It came up, I think it was yesterday, where in the afternoon I just wanted something sweet. And I checked in and what was going on. And I was able to check in with myself, see how I was feeling, see what was going on, and see what I needed to do to take care of myself rather than eat. It comes up for me even now, and it's one of my early warning signs. Doesn't mean I can't have that, whatever that sweet thing is, but it means that more often than not, something else is going on, and I want to address that rather than eat over it. Think about that for yourself. Okay? And now as we move down, we're moving on to bottom of page 8. And so once you have these early warning signs, I have an example. Oh, this is another one, is that maybe you want to go to a fast food drive-thru. You know, that, oh, I'm going home, or, oh, I'm traveling, I'm going to go in there, and you eat in your car. That was my thing, where I would do it, and I would go to the side, I would get something at the fast food drive-thru when I was by myself, and then I would go far away, I would drive the car, I wouldn't go in to get it, because then everybody would know what I was doing, so I thought, and I would go drive over to the end of the parking lot, so nobody would see me eat, because I felt embarrassed. So I now know that if I want to go through a fast food drive-thru and I want to eat over on the side, something's up, and I need to go back to my action plan. And my action plan for that is if I want to go to fast food, I need to sit down and eat it. So I check in with myself, am I hungry or full, and what would nourish me and satisfy me if I'm hungry? And I go inside and eat. Or I save it until I get home and eat at the table. But I don't sit in my car and eat. So my action plan is, the other action plan I have on here is I'll say, well, Kim, you can have it if you want, but let's wait a little bit longer and see which next drive-through comes up. And let's see if you're still wanting to have this. Let's just wait a little bit. And it's interesting that that one works really well for me, too, is it just gives me a few moments, that buffer between the thought of wanting to eat and eating. And it just makes me check back in and go, what's really going on? And often, if it's the driving thing, it's because I'm bored or lonely or feeling down, and I just need to address that feeling so that I don't go in and overeat. So think of that for you, and what's your early warning sign? And then what's an action plan for you? I've given you a lot of examples for myself, but think about yours and what might work for you. So let's move on to page 9 and look at the next part. Part 4 is when things are getting bad. Remember, this is your action plan that will last you for forever, and it's very changeable and fluid. But what happens for people when they're ending this 8-week group is they're a little bit afraid. Well, I'm used to checking in every week now. We've been having this group, and you've been thinking about it. You've been either on the call with me or listening to the call, doing the homework, thinking about it because it's kind of in your face. Because we have 8 weeks where it is in your face because we're doing it and you've made a commitment to do it. And what can happen is what people tell me is that they get afraid that they don't know what to do afterwards. How will I know if there's a problem? Well, this is it. Page 8. This is it. Or I'm sorry, page 9. How will you know when things are getting bad, right? Let's say you've missed some of those red flag moments, those early warning signs. So let's talk about when it might be really getting bad and we want to start noticing it. So when things are getting bad, what would it look like? You might be gaining weight. Your clothes might be getting tighter. You might be overeating more often than not. Obsessing about food. Eating foods that make you feel bad or foods that give you a negative body reaction. I work with a lot of people who eat certain foods and they break out. Their face breaks out. And they eat it anyway, knowing that their face is going to break out. Other people will eat certain foods knowing that it's going to upset their stomach and make them feel sick. Other people eating certain foods, people who are diabetic and eating sugary foods, knowing that their insulin's going to be out of balance and that they might end up, or their blood sugar's out of balance and they need to then take more insulin to counterbalance it. But they know they're going to have a negative reaction. That's when things are getting bad. So this is how we want to start looking at it so that you can get back into the plan, get back into what works. But we got to first notice when things are getting bad, because what I don't want, or what I hope for you, is that this doesn't get to be where it's a year from now and your clothes don't fit. You just realized that you've gained weight and you weren't paying attention. You went mindless for a while, and you didn't realize what had happened. So I don't want you to get to that point. So let's journal right now on what it looks like when things start getting bad, like when it really starts getting bad. What does that look like? What would that look like for you? when things are getting bad. Gaining weight, obsessing about food, sneaking food more often than not. What does it look like when things get bad? I think for a lot of people, the gaining weight is the part that's most fearful, is gaining weight. So let's just be honest about it. What would it look like when things get bad? So from your journaling, what are the signs that things are getting worse? You can notice them in your journal. And how would you know if you're in trouble? So what I want you to do on page 10, the top of page 10, is a list of signs that things are getting bad. I can't button my pants. I am daily overeating. I don't remember when I'm hungry or full anymore. I want to go on a diet. I think I need to restrict food. Those could be a list of signs that things are getting bad. And that's on page 10. What are your signs? And then for each sign, what's your action plan? What could you do about it? Now that we're being honest about what it looks like, for me it would be some of the things are getting bad. Wanting to diet would be one of them. And my action plan about when that thought comes up, because I tell you, you know, that diets are very subtle and they're, a lot of people endorse them. And what I have to do when I think about dieting is, or think about restricting food, is to remember my list of why I don't diet anymore, how diets have not served me. Remember, we did that way in the beginning. How do diets not serve you? How have they kept you off track of going where you want to go? Another action plan is, if my clothes are fitting tighter, when things are getting bad, it could be my clothes are getting tighter. And what I want to do is notice that when they're getting tighter, not when they don't fit, right? Things are really bad if they don't fit. You know how you move that piece of clothing to the back of the closet or to the back of the drawer, and you just kind of ignore it? So notice it before you can't wear them, but when they're starting to get tighter. And a possible action plan for that would be to use your food mood log to evaluate what's going on and also journal about what's going on in your life that might be upsetting you. Right? Check in again. Am I really eating when I'm hungry? Am I really eating when I'm full? Am I looking at what to do if I want to eat when I'm not hungry? Remember all the diagram we had back in the beginning about what to do if I want to eat if I'm not hungry, the am I hungry list, and also the list of what to do when you want to eat when you're full. And just go back and evaluate what's going on. Another part of that action plan is possibly the foods that you're eating aren't agreeing with you in some kind of way, and go see a nutritionist, not for a diet, but to have them look over what you're eating and are the foods that you're eating give you inflammation or kind of not working well for your body. I'm a great advocate or a believer in nutritionists and having them look over what you're eating and seeing if it really fits for you or not. Okay. So bottom of page 10, what's your action plan for when things are getting bad? Then on page 11, the bottom of page 11, now we want to look at our support system. It takes a village to help us in our lives. It just, we need people. We need others. We just do. And research shows that overeating is better managed with supportive people. Supportive people, I bolded that or capitalized that. And so choose people and places that are helpful and don't make you feel guilty or ashamed. Think of who is a positive influence. Who's really there for you? Who can you count on? These are the people that can help you get back on track and not put you down and not tell you need to go on a diet, but who are supportive of you and your path that you're taking. These people can be positive. They need to be positive, supportive, caring people. They can be your family. Be careful who in your family. Make sure that they're supportive people. Friends that are on similar path that want to eat in a way that is mindful. Coworkers, sometimes there are really good coworkers that could be on this path with you. 12-step meetings. I really believe in the 12-step philosophy. Overeaters Anonymous is a great place to go. Find a meeting that works for you. There are some meetings that do talk about dieting, and I don't agree with that. But the 12-step process in and of itself is great. If you are a 12-step member, use that process with people in the program who might help you be supportive of you and the path that you're taking. Also people at your place of worship, your church, spiritual people, can be very helpful. So on the bottom of page 11, who's your supportive people? What are supportive places to go? Sometimes possibly just attending a 12-step meeting can feel supportive and lead you back on the right path. Sometimes just attending church, if you are so inclined, can lead you back on the right path. Listening to a supportive leader in the community online. Email me. Tell me if things are getting upset, if things are tough. Go follow my blog and read some things that are supportive to help you get back on track. And so think about then, we're going to move to page 12, and think about how might they be supportive? How might these people be supportive? I have people who will email me or text me what's going on, and they just wanted to say it, just to have somebody hear it. I don't say anything back. I don't need to. It's just they want to be heard. And so they'll email me, text me. I have people leave me messages, phone messages. Kim, I just wanted to tell you blah, blah, blah happened, and this is what I'm going to do about it. I just wanted to have somebody hear it. I love that. I love those phone calls. So what are the supporters, and how might they be supportive? Do you just want somebody to take a text or a phone call or just listen, not even having to say anything? If you want them to be that support, you might want to let them know. Let them know how they can be supportive. Sometimes I'll talk to my husband and I'll tell him what's going on, or I want to tell him what's going on, and I'll say, all I need from you right now is just to listen. I just need a listening ear. I don't need any ideas except your encouragement, and tell me that you know that I can deal with this. So think about who the supporters are, and then what their role can be. What can they do for you? Be clear on it. Ask for what you want. Possibly tell them, I don't want you to tell me to go on a diet. That might be another way they might be supportive of you. I actually have clients that I work with that their supporter will often say, have you called Kim? It's the truth. The people that I work with, they'll go to their significant others or people that they know, and they'll say, have you talked to Kim about this? And then they'll call me and say, you know, my significant other, my supporter person said I should call and talk to you. Yeah. So that might be the solution. You might need other people to say is to have them tell you to call Kim, because I would love to continue to support you in whatever way might be necessary. And that gets us to the bottom in the end, at the bottom of page 12. And I'll just read what it says, and then I'll go into it a little bit more. But you now have many tools and an understanding of yourself, why you overeat, and what to do about it. You also have a daily plan of action to help keep you on track and on a forward path, and know the clues to know if you're starting to get off track, and the clues for when you're really off track. And these tools and insights will enable you to catch a problem before it gets too big. And I want you to know that I care about you and want you to be successful. And I am so grateful that you have been on this journey with me these 8 weeks, because I have actually learned a lot. I have followed through with you guys. I have participated, and I've been doing this for a while, and I learned something this time. And I want to thank you for that, for holding the space for me and for each other to learn a little bit more. And what I want you to know is that this is the start of a new way of living, a new way of relating to food. And I know that this can be a scary time, because it can feel like you're kind of out there now floating by yourself. And I know that can be real, but I want you to know that you have this plan of action. This wellness plan is one thing you have that you can take with you. But you also, there are other options for you. And I just want to tell you about it, and I'm going to send out an email about it. But there are some other ideas of what you can do if it feels like you need a little bit more. What I know is that depending on how long your emotional eating has been going on, it isn't necessarily done. We've got a lot of great foundational plans in place, but life still can hit you upside the head, and it might feel like you don't know what to do. So let me tell you some ideas of what you can consider for your next step. And one of them is to attend this group again. I'm running them about 3 times a year, and you'll see them on my newsletter. And because you've already been a part of this group, you can attend again for a super low fee that I don't offer to others of $97. So you can attend this group again whenever you want. Just let me know you want to attend it, and I will we'll have a special price for you of only $97. I'm going to start this group again at the end of September, and I'll start one again in early January. So those are my plans for when I'm going to run this group. And as we go along, I tend to change it. I change things up. I tend to add what people suggest or things that are new in the research to help you out with your emotional eating solution. So you can attend again for $97. The other thing you can do is I am looking to start a membership community. And if that's of interest to you, my plan is to start that in January. So if you're interested, let me know. I'll send you out a survey so you can tell me if you're even interested in it. But I'm planning to start a membership community where I'll have a couple of Q&A calls a month, and I'll have a Facebook group. I'll have some freebies for you guys. But it's a membership community where you can have access to me, and I'm thinking of a really dirt cheap price of like $19 a month is what I'm thinking of, because I just want people to have access. And it's only for people that have already been a part of this group. So it'll be people from all the different groups that I've run. I'm sorry, all the different emotional eating solution groups that I've run will have opportunity to join this membership community. And you can stay as long in that community as you'd like, and leave if it doesn't fit anymore. But it's a great place to get support. The other option is you can work with me one-to-one. I do have private coaching for people. And if you're interested in that, you can let me know. And so working with me one-to-one, continuing on, if that feels like an option for you, is another place you could go. Another is I'm looking for whether people who've already attended the Emotional Eating Solutions group want to have an advanced group, learn more skills, and have maybe more of an opportunity for interaction and for learning these skills at a deeper level. And so that would be an advanced group that I'm considering starting if I have enough people who are interested in it. And the other could be you feel absolutely fine and you feel like you have all the pieces in place right now to move forward. And that's fine. That's good. I hope that's where you're feeling. I hope you feel like you have all the pieces in place. I just know that emotional eating is, we eat every day, 3+ times a day, and it can be feel challenging. And you might say, I'm feeling okay for now, but let me get back to you. Absolutely fine. I feel okay for now, Kim, but maybe the community group might be good for me later on. Okay. Just keep in mind that I'm a supporter for you, and that's what I want you to know. I really appreciate your time. I value what the process and the place you guys are all working on to get better. I am going to also ask if you could help me out and give me feedback on what might I could do that could make this group better. Once again, if you had attended in the future, I use the feedback to help make it a stronger group. So any feedback you have, anything that worked for you, things that didn't work for you, and also if you have any kind of testimonial about what works, I would love to spotlight what works for different people as a way to let others know this process works. It's really valuable and it's really helpful. So with that, I bless you all and really want you to have a great day, a great future, to put food in its proper place as nourishment, and nurture yourself in ways that feel satisfying. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to hearing from you in the future. Bye, guys.